by World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods at 6th and University in Champaign. For over 14 years, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of cheeses, olive oil, balsamic vinegar, spices, chocolates, cookies, and more. Catering services are also available. World Harvest encourages you to join them in supporting public radio. Programs on WILL are made possible by Christopher's Fine Jewelry Design in downtown Champaign, featuring Opals from the Outback, a series of gemstone roundtables to benefit WILL on October 7th, 8th, and 9th. More information is available at 352-2415. Today's broadcast is made possible with support by Sangamon Auditorium, UIS Springfield, presenting The Capitol Steps, Friday, October 8th at 8 p.m. This troupe of current and former congressional staffers monitor events and personalities on Capitol Hill and around the world with a humorous look at today's issues. Ticket information is available at 800-207-6960.
Good morning. This is Focus 580, our morning telephone talk show. My name is Jack Brighton. Glad you could listen today. Our producers are Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is at the controls. On November 2nd, voters around Champaign-Urbana will have a choice of three candidates for the 103rd Illinois House District. This week on Focus 580, we're talking with all three candidates. It is our tradition, actually our mandate, to provide airtime for the candidates to speak on whatever issues they would like to introduce themselves to the people we hope will be voting, and we hope that you will be voting in November. But more importantly, this is your chance to talk with each candidate about whatever issues most concern you. Please consider this as your chance to conduct a sort of job interview with the candidates and exercise your right not only to vote, but to engage in dialogue with the people who would represent you in public office. During this hour of Focus 580, we'll be talking with the Democratic incumbent of the 103rd Illinois House District, Naomi Jacobson. She was elected to that position in 2002 and previously served for 12 years as a Champaign County recorder. She also held positions as the interim director of the Domestic Violence Shelter here in Urbana and as executive director of the university-wide WCA. In the Illinois House of Representatives, she serves on a number of committees, including higher education and state government administration. As we talk with Naomi Jacobson, we invite you into the conversation. As I say, the number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL if you match the letters with the numbers. We also have a toll-free line anywhere you hear us. That is 800-222-9455. Naomi Jacobson, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me here.
You've been serving your first term in the Illinois House of Representatives. What has it been like for you? Have there been any surprises, and how have you enjoyed it?
I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it because it was my background that made me think that I wanted to become the state representative. Through my volunteer work, my career choices, the way that I spent my time in working with families and children, whether that was with adoptive families and foster families and support groups there or with victims of domestic violence, certainly as a parent and being involved in the public schools for a number of years as a teacher of English as a second language. And all of these, you know, I've always strived to improve the communication between and among groups. And with the background that I had, having held elected office, working with so many different areas in the social services, I felt like I could really be a voice and bridge this communication in Springfield. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know there are people who are working two jobs every day just to, you know, make ends meet, to support their families, to get by. And I wanted to be a voice for them in the legislature as well as for our university, for our community. So I'm a watchdog for these people, and I vote on the needs of the whole community, and I want to continue to do so.
Okay. Well, we have several callers already lined up, and since this is about dialogue with the voters, let's go ahead and talk with them. First, a listener in Urbana on line number one. Good morning.
Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm calling because I have Health Alliance, and I'm very distressed that although there was a great deal of talk for months and months about helping seniors with their medical bills and in particular their prescription drugs, and that, Naomi, you said that you were going to try and keep the Health Alliance costs the same. Well, now my medicine has gone from $180 a year to $420 a year, and I feel that's just absolutely backwards from everything that's been said, and I just I want to know if you can't get the medicine back to the cost that it was.
Healthcare has been one of my top priorities throughout my term as state representative, and I do believe that we have made, you know, some progress. Sure, costs are going up in all ways of healthcare. I think the important thing about Health Alliance is that, you know, when the state announced that it was going to drop Health Alliance, and I got a call from the CEO of Health Alliance, I immediately contacted the speaker and asked for a special hearing. And there were about 20,000 people in this community who would have been affected by that, and 90,000 throughout the state, current and retired state employees. And because of this special hearing that was held, we were able to overturn that decision. People do still have the choice of having Health Alliance as their health care insurance provider. And also, as a result of the special hearing, there is now legislative oversight of those kinds of contracts. And I will continue to make health care one of my priorities.
Well, that doesn't answer my question. I mean, I want to know how we can get back to the previous cost. I think this is an outrageous increase from $180 to $420 a year.
Well, I do believe that the governor is working to find ways to make prescription drugs more affordable for the people in the state of Illinois. And I'm going to keep watching what he does and trying to support lower insurance or lower prescription costs.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for the call. Just a quick follow-up on the Health Alliance issue. The contract with Health Alliance was extended, but it expires in November, does it not?
That one does expire, and they have to apply again.
Yes.
And I believe the important thing is that to know that there is now legislative oversight of those kinds of contracts so that they will be done with much more care.
Okay. The other issue that on people's minds about that is the whole shift of the state health insurance system towards self-insurance, the state self-insuring itself, sort of, with the idea that we can save money in the short term because we won't be establishing a set, sort of premium structure. But liability on the road is that if the state gets hit with, very, very high health bills from these contracts, then, it may in the long run cost more. And I guess I'm wondering what you would say about that. Is it a good idea to shift to self-insurance for the state of Illinois?
I think we have to make sure that whatever we have is the most cost-effective. And right now, with people being able to choose their health insurance companies, I want to make sure that people can have those choices.
Okay. Well, we have several callers waiting. We'll go next to a Champaign listener in line number 2. Good morning.
Yes. As a business owner, I'm worried about workers' compensation rates. Do you have any solutions to stop the rising costs? I will hang up and listen.
Okay.
As state representative, I've been very concerned about our business and our economic development. And I know that there are a lot of costs involved, and there were taxes and fees that were imposed. I voted against every tax and fee increase that was brought before us, and I will continue to do that. One of the ways that I've reached out to the community as I've been serving in the House is I have several advisory committees, and one of them is a business and economic advisory committee. I've been working very hard to make sure that I am hearing all of the concerns about business, about the rising costs, because I want to keep them down. I think that's the way we can improve our economy and attract businesses.
Okay. Well, the caller hung up. Hopefully that answers the question. We'll go next to an Urbana listener on line number 3. Good morning.
Hi. I know that there are huge priorities in the state government and in the monies now. I wonder how the legislators are working together on both sides of the aisles. I know that there are some cuts in the OSLAD, the Open State Land Acquisition Program. Do you support or oppose that?
I certainly oppose the cuts to OSLAD. Environment has been one of my top priorities. And when I first learned that there were a proposal to raid that fund to cut the OSLAD spending, I contacted the governor, but I also contacted the governor on behalf of many, many constituents who were contacting me. It was very important for me to let the governor know my feelings about it, but also the people of the 103rd District. I did not approve of cutting that. And as a result, there was a House resolution passed, and successfully we did not raid the OSLAD fund.
Can you describe what the OSLAD fund
is? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's the Open Space Land Acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of that, as you look around Champaign and Urbana at our wonderful park systems, you don't have to even go outside of our communities to mm-hmm. see the benefits. Many of our parks have benefited from that, and not just here, but, of course, throughout the state.
Sure. So it's a fund that essentially how does it work?
It was set up in the late 80s, and this fund then is available to local park districts and organizations like that mm-hmm. that need to acquire open space.
To establish parks and that recreational
space. Right, and keep open space, yes.
Okay. Well, very good. We have three callers waiting, and let me just reintroduce our guest this morning. We're talking with Naomi Jacobson. She is the Democratic incumbent of the 103rd Illinois House District, and her name will be on the ballot along with two other candidates in November for the 103rd District, which covers much of Champaign-Urbana in the Illinois State Legislature. And we're taking your questions. So the number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Another Champaign listener next, line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I'm calling to ask Naomi what her position is on the Developmental Disabilities Board here in our community. I'm a parent of an individual, of a child right now with developmental disabilities, and I have some real concerns about the growing waiting list and so forth that we're experiencing in this community, and would like to know what her position is on the referendum that's on the ballot that we'll be voting on as well on November 2nd.
Okay.
That is a referendum on the ballot, and I know people worked hard to make sure that it got on the ballot. I think this is an opportunity for the people in the whole county to decide if they want this. I serve on the Developmental Disabilities and Mental Illness Committee in the House, and so I have been working, of course, over the last couple of years with people with disabilities, and I know the importance of it. I've had people come into my office, both here in this district or in Springfield, and tell me about their own personal involvement with developmental disabilities, whether it's themselves or their children. And this is an area that I'm very concerned about.
Is it an area in which you support?
I wouldn't be serving on the developmental disabilities if I didn't support services to them.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Feedback.
I think what I'm hearing the caller ask, though, is do you think that this ought to be passed? Do you have a position on yes or no on this referendum?
Well, you know, since I'm a candidate, I don't usually tell people how I will vote on referenda. This is a very important issue.
Okay. Well, we'll go next to Urbana listener on line number two. Good morning.
Yes. Could you tell us if you think the drug war is working and if jail cures addiction? And another question I had was, is there any relationship between alcohol and domestic violence? And the third question I had was, would you commit state money toward a tram in our community? And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, three big questions.
I have all three of them. Is the drug war working? Is there a relationship between
alcohol abuse and domestic violence, a subject that I think you would have some acquaintance with as former director of the domestic violence shelter here?
Right. And then the last one was the tram, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Okay. The drug war. Do I think that people get cured in prisons? I don't know if everyone gets cured in the prison, but I think here in our county, we have seen the steps that our system has taken, and we do have a drug court. I've talked with Judge Ford as he's worked in that, mm-hmm. and in fact, I've been to several of their graduations. I know that people who work in the different areas, I've talked with people at Prairie Center, and people work really, really hard to help people get off of drugs. And I believe it's a matter of individuals who want to get off of drugs as well as these services and facilities that are available to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before we move on to the next topic, you know, it seems that there is a difference of opinion in terms of the approach of to attack the drug problem that is very real in this country, in this state, whether it is a law enforcement issue, which certainly it is when people are committing crimes, especially violent crimes, or a public health issue in the sense that those people who have addictions also have a mental health issue or something that might be addressed more effectively by less law enforcement and more health care or, you know, the counseling sorts of programs like that.
And I think that's why we have the drug court, we have Prairie Center, we have places like that, because those people understand that it's a combination.
Yeah. Okay. Second issue, the alcohol and domestic violence. I would imagine that you would think there's a connection.
I think there is a connection. There is a connection, but it's certainly not the only cause of domestic violence. There are many issues involved with that, many causes, but very often it is found that there is some alcohol abuse involved with domestic violence.
Okay. And the third issue the call raised was the tram in Champaign-Urbana, whether you would support state funding or involvement in such a project. Do you have a view on that?
I know that MTD is working very hard to make sure that they provide the best services that they can for our public transportation for this community. And I know that's one of the areas that they were looking at. Right now, what I can say is I support MTD. I helped them get a state grant this year. I think MTD does an excellent job of studying our community, providing the best that they can with the resources that they have. I know that not only do they encourage people using public transportation, but I think they encourage people using other means. Look at the buses that now have bicycle racks mm-hmm. on the front.
Sure.
Because this community recognizes the importance of people being able to walk to work, being able to take their bicycles where they can, and getting around our community in the most efficient way as possible.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the tram itself, though, I mean, it would be a huge project and would certainly involve, I'm sure, coordination, with yourself as a representative of Champaign-Urbana, federal resources, local resources. It's a big project.
It is a big project. And I've been attending some of their meetings, reading some of the literature and attending some of their meetings because I want to stay informed.
Okay. Well, we have full lines here. We'll go next to another Champaign listener on line number 3. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm.
My question for Representative Jacobson is, do you support gay marriage?
I have long been an advocate of I'm an advocate of, seeing firsthand. I've been a friend and a mother and a community advocate of I don't want to see any discrimination or disrespect. I have seen it. I've seen the disrespect that people rage. I've been a longtime advocate of equal rights. I want you to know I don't believe that anyone should be discriminated against in any way for any reason, including sexual orientation. It's been an important part of my life here in this community and in Springfield.
Okay. Well, then, do you support the constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, and would you vote in favor of it at a state level when the state is asked to ratify the amendment?
I would not vote to change to ban gay marriage.
Okay.
I think when we look at the Constitution and we're going to change the rights of people, we should be increasing rights, not decreasing them.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks very much. That was a clear answer. There have been proposals in the Illinois legislature to safeguard the rights of same-sex partners, and thus far the state legislature has not affirmed those. The details are not in front of me, so I don't know the language exactly off the top of my head. But I wonder if you're familiar with some of the resolutions or bills that have been proposed and what your take on that is.
You might be referring to House Bill 101 and Senate Bill 101.
Okay,
I understand
yeah.
they are
yeah.
identical. It specifically prohibits discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation mm-hmm. in employment and in housing. And yes, I will vote for those bills.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll go next to a Belgium listener on line number 4. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Yes, good morning. I can't vote for you because I'm not in your district. But there is a question here I think that is pertinent both to your areas, and we should get it out and about a little bit. Being over here in the Danville area, an area that has been economically depressed now for quite a while and continuing to be, we're having a problem here that is tied to the state in a strange way in medical things that Mr. Brighton has been talking about here recently, and that is that with the declining economic base, more and more people are leaving, which means doctors are having a harder and harder time to stay in business with their malpractice situations and stuff, and a lot of doctors are leaving practice here in Danville. I don't know if that problem has reached Champaign yet, but how do you feel about the burdens they've been putting on physicians in that area?
And especially in terms of malpractice insurance?
Yes, a lot of them are leaving because of the insurance problems.
Mm-hmm.
I've been hearing this, of course, and I've heard firsthand of the people who are not able to get services. It's not only in Danville, it's in southern Illinois. And we have had many, many meetings in Springfield on this. I supported a MedMail bill that had caps on non-economic damages. Unfortunately, it didn't come to a full vote. It did in the House, but it didn't get through the Senate. I think that we need to keep our physicians in our state. And when I talk about having health care more accessible, obviously we have to have the physicians to provide the health care to the people here in Illinois. If a person is injured, and I've had people talk to me, you know, their own children who were, as a result of the birth, have serious injuries, and these people need to be fairly compensated. But I think we also need to make sure that we keep our doctors here. We should not be imposing huge fees on them so that they have to leave.
Yes, the gynecological doctors seem to be the ones that are pressed the hardest right now. But it's affecting all of them, and it's going to affect our health system. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Okay, thanks for the call. Well, how do you strike a balance then between the needs to compensate people who are victimized through actual malpractice where it occurs, and the doctors who are simply trying to, you know, help people practice their trade, et cetera, and who all of whom essentially face rising malpractice insurance rates, and as the caller points out, it's driving some out of work, out of areas like ours.
We were working hard to get a bill, and I still want to continue in that effort.
Okay. Well, we have several callers waiting, and we're about at our midpoint with Naomi Jacobson. She's the Democratic incumbent for the 103rd Illinois House District. Her name will be on the ballot this November for re-election, and we're taking your questions for her this morning. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free elsewhere, 800-222-9455. Another Champaign listener next on line number 1. Good morning. Hello?
Oh, hello.
Yes.
Yes, I'm from Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
Many business owners can't afford to provide their health insurance. What are you doing to help employers to afford insurance for employees?
I have actually, that's been a concern of mine because I have heard from many business owners and small business owners. And, you know, even when I was the director of the YWCA, we had a small group of employees that we wanted to provide insurance for. And you know, healthcare costs are high, and it's difficult for people to be able to just go to a doctor. We need to make it easier for small businesses to purchase healthcare coverage. This year, I sponsored a new law that will start the process of creating a small business healthcare pool. This will allow small businesses to negotiate the same way as large businesses do, as large corporations, when securing the best rates for employee health care insurance. This is something that I have heard from many people, and it's something that I wanted to work on.
Okay. Hope it gets the caller's question. We have a couple other people waiting. We'll next do another Champaign listener on line number 2. Good morning. The caller there?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Good morning. Naomi, a while back, we were promised education funding reform using income from the lottery. Now, do you see a way to fund education without raising our taxes?
Good question.
That's a good question. And, you know, we were promised that. Unfortunately, the money from the lottery does go to education, but at the same time, the amount that comes in through the lottery, then we don't get from the general revenue fund. So it didn't increase. It just offset some of the funding. Education has been a priority of mine as a mother, as a grandmother, as a former teacher. I certainly know the importance of funding our education. What we need to do is certainly make sure that we're not placing a bigger burden on the taxpayers. We have to start eliminating, we have to continue and look for more ways to eliminate the irresponsible government spending. We need to prioritize how our state's resources and tax money are used. We have to make education the top priority, and I have said that, and I know over the years other people have said it, but I'm committed to that. You know, I think as one example of looking for irresponsible government spending was when we were in special session this last summer. We were in overtime, and special sessions that were called made it so that the legislators were paid a per diem for attending those special sessions. I didn't think that we should be paid to be there. I gave my per diems back to the state of Illinois. In fact, there was an article in a Rockford paper a few weeks ago that I was surprised when I read it. Someone emailed it to me that Barack Obama and I were the only ones who had given our per diems back.
Mm.
I think some others followed suit since then. But, you know, I did that not to get coverage in a Rockford paper, but because I thought it was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I give you credit for doing that. And it's too bad the News Gazette didn't publish that. Would have been interesting for your constituency to know that. Well, thank you very much for your answers.
Okay, thanks for the call. Mm-hmm. Just a quick follow-up on the issue of school funding. You know, with so many Illinois schools in financial distress, can we afford to really lower property taxes? I mean, you've suggested lowering property taxes. You've opposed increasing income taxes. Can we really afford to do that with the schools in financial crisis? So many, I believe, you know, 80% are actually facing deficits. The school districts in Illinois are facing deficits this year. And there doesn't look to be any really hope in the next state budget to really address that in a major way. You know, then there's a proposal on the table, House Bill 750, which would essentially, this is a proposal that's been over the years put forth to the Illinois State Legislature to adjust the tax rate. We talked about this yesterday, in fact, on the show, by lowering property taxes and increasing income taxes so that the gap between the rich districts and the poor districts is narrowed, and that the funding formula for schools is on a little bit more even basis. What do you think about that idea?
I have been attending some of the meetings. I've been reading a lot of the information that I've been able to gather, and I'm watching this. I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to make sure that our school funding is are a priority within the state. I have some problems with this bill because it raises taxes. Mm-hmm. It raises business taxes. It increases them to 8%. It raises the personal tax, and it imposes taxes on many, many services mm-hmm. that everybody uses. Whether, you know, a lot of these services are used whether a person is of low income or high income.
Yeah.
So, you know, some of those service taxes could be a real problem for some individuals. The problem is there's no guarantee that property taxes would go down, just as, you know, when we had the lottery mm-hmm. that was supposed to fund our schools, and it didn't. And so I'm watching this very carefully. I think we still need to make sure that we do prioritize how we spend our resources, how we spend our taxpayers' dollars, your dollars, and we keep, I still insist that we have to watch the irresponsible government spending.
Mm-hmm. Now, can't the state mandate a lowering of property taxes across the board? I mean, we have tax caps in place in so many counties that limit the increase of property taxes. And, you know, I think it seems that most people agree that the high property tax rates are part of the problem, and that's a big part of the problem, that we rely so heavily on local property taxes to fund schools, that not only are the schools getting shortchanged, but property tax rates are, well, a lot of people think completely out of control, even despite the tax caps. You know, and yes, it would in one sense be a tax increase in the income tax and these other taxes that you mentioned. Yes, some of the sales taxes hitting some of the services and so forth. I think some people have suggested that those are sort of on the table and could be negotiated, but the basic formula is to increase the income tax rate and lower the property taxes. Can't the state do that?
Well, I think this bill is looking at all those things
yeah.
to determine what the state will do. You know, I don't want to tax people's pensions. That's part of this bill.
Yeah.
So I'm still watching it, and I cannot commit to a bill before I see the final drafting of
okay.
it.
All right. Fair enough. We have several callers waiting. We'll go next to a listener on line number 3 in Champaign. Good morning.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yes.
Ms. Jacobson, I saw you recently in a Sierra Club debate meeting in Champaign, and you were touting your voting record on the environment. My question is how do you justify stating that you have a solid voting record on the environment when you voted for sweeping funding cuts to the general fund at the expense of renewable energy resources, the Solid Waste Management Fund, Park Conservation, and the Energy Efficiency Trust Fund, and a $2 million cut to the Natural History, Geological, and Water Surveys?
Yes, I do have a 100% voting record with the Illinois Environmental Council, and the environment has been one of my priorities. The budget that we voted for, I believe most people do understand, was the result of the coalition of bipartisan legislators and when we talk about the environment, I said that I would not, you know, I did not want to cut the funding to OSLAD. We didn't cut the funding to OSLAD. That fund is there. It didn't get rated. The surveys that were cut, if we hadn't voted for that budget, we wouldn't have a budget for the university. We wouldn't have the budget to run our state government. We wouldn't have, you know, safety enforcement in place. So, you have to remember that this was a result of the bipartisan coalition of legislators who made sure that we had a budget that was going to do the best for our state.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. A couple other callers, and we have just about maybe 15 minutes left during this hour with Naomi Jacobson. She is the Democratic incumbent of the 103rd Illinois House District, and we're taking your calls. She will be on the ballot, obviously, for re-election in November, and so this is your chance to talk to the candidate about what if her issues concern you the most. The number around Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Toll-free anywhere you hear us, 800-222-9455. Someone in Champaign, again, on line number one. Good morning.
Good morning. I have another question for Representative Jacobson concerning health care.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
Currently, there are many people in Illinois who are living without health care coverage. What are you doing to improve access for these individuals?
You're right, and unfortunately, there are too many Americans who are living without health care coverage. Some of the things that I've done for health care is, for one, for having a it's been my top priority. And one of the things that we were able to do this past January, a law went into effect that provides for the Illinois Senior Prescription Buying Club. And this allows seniors to save about 20% on their prescription drugs. We also increased the funding for Medicaid, for kid care, for family care. These are programs that are designed to expand health coverage to people who would not otherwise have any health care coverage. It's estimated that because of this expansion, 76,000 more children and working adults will be covered by family care this year. You know, this is a start. I look forward to continuing in this to expand coverage so that everybody has health care coverage, so that people don't have to make a choice between getting health care coverage and buying their food or putting shoes on their children or making sure their children get to school. Again, I worked to pass the bill that would allow small businesses to purchase health care coverage for their employees. And further than that, I've to make sure that we have affordable and more accessible health care for everybody, I sponsored the Health Care Justice Act.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much for the call. A quick question about prescription drugs. Got a couple calls relating to the cost of prescription drugs. And obviously, it has become a growing problem. The cost of prescription drugs are increasing much faster than the rate of inflation. And Governor Blagojevich has proposed essentially importing drugs from Canada and negotiating to lower prices that way. Do you support that? What do you think? Is that a good idea?
I think it's, you know, the governor is doing what he wants to do and needs to do in getting prescription drugs for the people of the state of Illinois. And I am encouraged when he takes new initiatives to find ways. We'll have to see what, you know, we finally end up with. But I am in full support of finding the best prices we can for prescription drugs for the people here in the state.
Okay. Another Urbana listener next on line number two. Good morning.
Hi. I tuned in late, so you may have already covered this, but I was wondering what plans you have to increase accessibility for people, for poor people and working poor. Now that both Carle Clinic and Christie Clinic no longer accept any new Medicaid patients.
Well, I know that they're not accepting new Medicaid patients, but I also know that they are working with the Francis Nelson, trying to help there to make sure that people who can't afford health care are going to you know, expand that so that more people will be able to use that facility. And I also know that there is a – that Carl is working with the Urbana High School to have the facility over there. And I'm going to keep working to make sure that people have access to health care.
Okay. We our lines remain full. We'll carry on. And another Urbana listener is next on line number three. Good morning. You're on Focus 580.
Hi there. I have a question for you about the recycling. What are you doing to encourage recycling?
Recycling. Aha.
Well, one of the things I've done is I drafted a bill that would encourage people to recycle their electronic equipment. used electronic equipment. As we know, if it goes into our landfills, we are polluting the air, we're polluting the ground, and therefore the groundwater. And if people could be encouraged to recycle their electronic equipment by getting a tax credit, I think that would be really good in the step in the right direction, and I have drafted that bill.
Okay, thanks very much for the call. Just along those lines, I know you know, some people who are involved in recycling batteries, alkaline batteries in particular. You're probably aware of the problem that they pose in landfills. They're very toxic. Is the state doing anything to address the availability of you know, recycling for that kind of thing?
Well, that's one of the, you know, when we talk about electronic equipment, there are a lot of things involved.
Sure.
And so I want to make sure that we can recycle as much of our electronic equipment and things like that that have terrible results when we put them in our landfills.
Okay. We'll go next to another Champaign listener, line number 4. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Hi, Representative Jacobson. Mm-hmm. I'm a student at the University of Illinois, and I was just wondering why you feel students should vote for you as their representative.
Well, you know, I have been a strong advocate for the University of Illinois, not just an advocate, but I graduated from the U of I. I have 2 degrees from there. I've taught at the U of I. My husband has taught here for over 33 years, and I've also volunteered on the campus. I've worked on the campus when not, you know, directly teaching. The university is a place that is very important to me, but it's not only important to me, it's important to this district, it's important to the entire state. I think it's important to know that for the first time in several years, this year the budget to the University of Illinois was not cut by the state, and it had been happening, and I made it very clear in Springfield that the only budget I would vote for this year would not cut the funding to the University of Illinois, and that is the budget that we passed. I can be a strong voice for the university. I've spent a lot of time talking to my colleagues to let them know that this is the flagship university, and we need to keep funding the flagship university. We need to make sure that you as a student get the best education that you came here to get, and that we maintain and attract the faculty that can help provide that to you.
Well, also along, you know, the student line, a big issue that comes up all the time is Chief Alinowick. That's probably something that's going to be coming up in the next 2 years again. Are you pro-chief or anti-chief?
You know, I think whether I'm personally pro or anti does not have anything to do with being a state legislator. It's not a legislative decision.
Well, with Emil Jones holding the university budget closely tied to the Chief Alinowick issue, I feel like, you know, although ideally it wouldn't be, you know, a Springfield issue, it has become one recently.
Well, I think there was talk for, you know, a while when that threat was there, but it's not a Springfield issue.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. Along the lines of the university budget, you know, as you note, you know, we went through two years of budget cuts, actual cuts, and the last year a flat budget as well. A lot of pain has been experienced on this campus, and I think there is a sense that, you know, perhaps the governor or a lot of people in Springfield just don't understand how difficult it is and what that is doing to affect the campus here, not just, you know, for the people who work here, but for the students, for the quality of education, for the future of higher education in this country. I think there's a sense that higher education isn't valued by the state government at this point. Do you think that's true, and how, you know, how are you addressing that particular perception or reality? What would you say about that?
You know, I serve on both Appropriations for Higher Education and Higher Education.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that does give me a good opportunity when I'm in Springfield to talk to my colleagues, to talk to the leadership about higher education and, of course, especially the University of Illinois, but also our community colleges.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you ask almost any one of my colleagues, they know that I talk to so many of them about the importance of it, about funding, keeping the funding going. You know, it's really important because, first of all, we need to take, you know, our students are coming here for the top education that is available to them in our state. And we want to make sure that they get that. We want to make sure that we maintain and we attract faculty. So many of our faculty bring in millions of dollars in research dollars from other places that I try to remind my colleagues that the importance of that, because that helps not just that lab that the money comes into, but it helps the economy of the university. It helps the economy of this community. It you know, provides jobs. And then some of these jobs, people have learned things. They can go off. They can be entrepreneurs, set up businesses. It's so tied together. And I have tried very, very hard, and I think successfully, let my colleagues know the importance.
Okay. Our lines continue to be full. We'll go next to another Champaign listener on line number one. Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
I was listening a couple days ago, and your opponent stated that she would be in favor of constructing ATV trails through our state parks. What is your position on that?
I don't think ATVs belong on any state property. That's not what our state land is for, and it's destructive. It's, you know, can pollute. It can destroy the wildlife. I think if, you know, someone owns private land and they want to construct an ATV trail and, you know, earn some money that way, maybe provide themselves with some economic development, that's the way to go. But yeah, ATVs don't belong on our state lands.
Just a minor correction, though, and I'm certainly, you know, not a partisan in this, but what the guest on Tuesday stated was actually she doesn't support ATVs in existing state parks, but setting up other parks that would be specifically for ATVs. And I think that was clear if you listened to the interview. That's what she said.
But it shouldn't be state-funded. That's my feeling.
Okay.
I agree. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Another Champaign listener, line number two. Good morning.
Okay. My question is about employment discrimination. And by this, I mean, what is the representative's voting record or legislation initiative record on the subject? And what is her record before entering the legislature when she was leading not-for-profit organizations in the Champaign-Urbana area? I'll hang up and listen.
When I was a Champaign County Recorder, I hired people. I hired minorities. I hired people with disabilities. I always wanted to hire the best person there was. And by looking for the best, I found the best to be in a really diverse group. And when I was both director of a Woman's Fund and the YWCA, I certainly had a diverse staff.
Okay. Hope that gives the caller's question. We'll go next to line number three, another Champaign listener. Good morning.
Hi there. Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if you support wetland protection. I'm interested in more of your environmental initiatives.
Okay.
Yes, I certainly do support the wetlands protection. There was a House bill that I voted for, and it has not yet been called in the Senate. I would encourage anyone to call their senator and please beg him to see that, you know, try to get that called. Try to get it past the committee so that it can become law. It's been a priority for me to improve our environmental standards in our state. You know, I supported legislation that prohibits companies that break environmental laws from doing business with the state. I encourage local businesses to development and smart growth. It's imperative that we have businesses accountable for actions that harm our environment. And as we said earlier, when it came to the Open Space Land Acquisition Fund, I certainly was against raiding that and wanted to see that funded. I also supported legislation to protect our natural spaces from contamination. We should not be contaminating our grounds and our waters. I think one really important issue in the environment to know about is I worked with Senator Winkle in my first year to create the Aquifer Study Act. And this was a Senate bill that as soon as it came from the Senate, I picked it up in the House and became the sponsor of it in the House. And the aquifer study will be studying the groundwater, both the quality and the quantity. And for maybe some people aren't aware that our water right here that we have in the Champaign-Urbana area comes from what is called the Mahomet Aquifer. And there's been a Champaign County Blue Ribbon panel on the environment, and they've discovered that that this is one of the most pressing issues here in our region. And so, you know, I was really glad when I learned that that was one of their issues, that we had already passed this bill, and it is law now. So I've been working really hard to make sure that we protect our environment, not just, you know, not just to say, oh, it's nice and it's pretty, but we need to make sure that it's here for future generations and that it's safe and it's not going to be harmful.
We just have a minute left. I'll squeeze in one last caller on line number 4 in Champaign. Good morning.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. My question is about the subject of sex offender notification. I was wondering how you felt about that and how you propose to curb the regression of these convicted offenders.
Okay.
I do believe that we, you know, have some good laws into effect. We passed some this year that will enhance and make even stronger the kinds of what's going to be imposed on offenders, sex offenders. And one of the things this will do is they've got an increased fine, and it will help the Department of Corrections keep track of sex offenders because I think we do need to track them.
Okay. Well, we're here at the end of our time. There's much more we could talk about, and I apologize to callers that we didn't get to during this hour. But that's the way it goes. We will, I'm sure, talk more with other times with Naomi Jacobson on the show and with all the candidates for the 103rd. In fact, all of them are on the show this week. And by the way, I also want to mention that if you'd like to go back and hear the interviews after the fact, they're on our website, our election website. The address is will.uiuc.edu/election2004. And tomorrow we'll talk with Tom Mackeman, the Socialist Equity Party for the 103rd. And to our guest this morning, Naomi Jacobson, the Democratic incumbent. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
Programming on WILL is made possible in part by Strawberry Fields on West Springfield Avenue in downtown Urbana. Strawberry Fields provides a wide assortment of natural foods, vitamins, bulk herbs, fresh breads, and produce. The Strawberry Fields Cafe, looking out on Springfield Avenue, features expanded seating for the deli and coffee bar. Today's broadcast is made possible in part by a grant from Horene's Pianos Plus, your Steinway Piano Showroom in Bloomington. Horene's Pianos Plus offers new and pre-owned pianos by Steinway & Sons, Boston by Steinway, and other fine pianos.
That's it for this hour, Focus 580. When we return in just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with investigative journalist Matthew Brzezinski about his book, Fortress America, On the Front Lines of Homeland Security, an inside look at the coming surveillance state. First, we'll take a break for some news and a market update.
Agricultural information is made possible in part by a grant from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, the nature of what's to come.
Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with this market update. Since the markets opened this morning on the Chicago Board of Trade, wheat has been under pressure as USDA pegged the 2004 U.S. wheat output at 2.164 billion bushels. That